like so many other things I reflect on with you all, the idea of being ready for blessings has to do with an internal shift toward openness, with a frame of gratitude. This shift starts with paying attention, to practice noticing what our senses report to us, to be aware of what we see, hear, feel, touch, taste, smell. The blessings are out there, says David White, waiting for you, waiting to call you. And it's up to us to notice, to pay attention, to know them and feel them as the blessings they are, and to let them fill us up until we are overflowing with them and we spill them out for someone else. David White also speaks of blessings as reminders that we are not alone, that our acknowledging them connects us to everything that is around us. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. Everything is waiting for you. This practice of noticing blessings can remind us of some of the good in the world or some of the good in our lives, to connection, to faith, to courage, and to hope. They can be touchstones in our spiritual journeys. And before I paint way too rosy a picture about that and how wonderful and easy it is, I will also say that sometimes we're not in a place where it's possible to feel that, where we are not ready for our blessings. Times when the word blessing could even feel like an affront. Times we've suffered loss, witnessed or experienced illness or cruelty, or felt that cold of hopelessness close around our hearts. There are times when the ordinary things around us can be very obvious blessings, and then there are times that they can seem like an expression of irony. When we ask ourselves, or we ask God, or we ask the universe, how the world around us can keep going, keep seeming so normal when our own world might be writhing in pain or in fear. It's not always possible to be open to those blessings that are around us in those ordinary things and experiences. And it's then that it can work the other way around, that the blessings around us might be the thing that brings us back to the possibility of openness. The Quaker author, educator, and activist Parker Palmer has suffered from depression several times in his life, and he's written and spoken of some of his experiences with it. He has told this story about someone who offered him the only blessing it would have been possible for him to receive during one of his depressive episodes. He writes, "There was this one friend who came to me after asking permission to do so every afternoon around 4 o'clock. Sat me down in a chair in the living room, took off my shoes and socks, and massaged my feet. He hardly ever said anything, he was a Quaker elder, and yet, out of his intuitive sense, from time to time would say a very brief word like, 'I can feel your struggle today,' or farther down the road, 'I feel you're a little stronger at this moment, and I'm glad for that.' But beyond that, he would never say anything. He would give no advice. He would simply report from time to time what he was intuiting about my condition. Somehow, he found the one place in my body, namely the soles of my feet, where I could experience some sort of connection to another human being. And the act of massaging just, in a way I don't really have words for, kept me connected with the human race. What he mainly did for me, of course, was to be willing to be present to me in my suffering. He just hung in with me in this very quiet, very simple, very tactile way. And I've never really been able to find the words to fully express my gratitude for that, but I know it made a huge difference. This friend was able to reflect to Parker something he wasn't able to see for himself in the depths of depression, that there was still the blessing of human connection. I understand this isn't always possible for people suffering from this disease, but it's a powerful example of how we might be a blessing of ordinary life for someone else, of how our presence in each other's lives might be the most important ordinary blessing there can be. My own experience with coming back by the grace of blessings around me was not with depression, but with grief of loss of a partner in divorce. During my own darkest time, I was incapable of perceiving anything around me as a blessing. The world around me somehow kept going, and those everyday miracles that never end, never ended. Autumn came with its beautiful blazing colors, and then winter came, and I could stand on the frozen lake, sometimes even with the sun on my face. And then the glory of spring rebirth, all of those things came to pass, and they didn't touch me. Babies were born and learned to walk and talk and eat, and dogs bounded around, and people smiled at me and talked at me, and it all just kind of rolled off my back. It's like I noticed them, but didn't let my awareness of them create any emotional response, any connection. And as someone who understands the sacred as being present in the connections between us, that meant that my access to the holy was cut off. What helped me rediscover that access was my people. Folks who heard me and witnessed what I was sitting with, who sat with me while I first cut myself off from my feelings, and then started to process them. My people did not rub my feet in a literal way, but they offered me companionship during a time I could have very easily isolated myself, and that was a blessing that eventually brought me back to myself and eventually brought back the ability to notice and feel those ordinary blessings. Parker Palmer finishes his story about the difference his friend made during his depression with these words. "It became, for me, a metaphor of the kind of community we need to extend to people who are suffering in this way, which is a community that is neither invasive of the mystery nor evasive of the suffering. A community that is neither invasive of the mystery nor evasive of the suffering, but is willing to hold people in a space, a sacred space of relationship, where somehow this person who is on the dark side of the moon can get a little confidence that they can come around to the other side." All of this is literal and a metaphor for the work that we do together. It's one of the amazing things about our community and about our faith tradition. This idea is part of our theology, not just my theology, but a large Unitarian Universalist theology. The sacred space of relationship is one of the core understandings of this faith. Because we see the divine in each other, because we see the blessings around us, and take them in and spill them over to each other. Because we understand that the present moment and our present company is all we are ever guaranteed. And because we know we're interconnected and interdependent, we learn to help each other open to that possibility of hope and relationship and compassion. We help each other become ready for our blessings so that we might notice the enabling power of the soap dish, the freedom offered by the window latch, the conversation the singing kettle invites us into, so that they can call us into becoming blessings for each other. And those of us who are in the place to receive those blessings freely have the power to pass them along, opening a path for those of us who need a little hope, a little clarity, or a little nudge. May it be so, and may we be so.